Star of Ireland's Fittest Family, of course, and winner of 4 All-Irelands and 4 All-Stars as well. Sorry. It's Anna Geary. Can we get a round of applause?
Thank you.
Sorry, I typed in Nathan Carter and I misspelled Christmas. I went C-H-I-R and Nathan Carter's chiropractor came up.
There's a market for everything.
We thought you
nowadays.
Were laughing at our All-Ireland.
No, sorry. I would never laugh. Something as amazing
just
as that.
I was like, all right, okay, the first introduction was better. We get it.
What is your kind of memories of a Cork Christmas when you were growing up and you were a smallie? Yeah,
you know what? I think because, you know, Milford is in the sticks, very much so.
And yeah, close to my home county.
Dangerously close, but very important distinction. We're not there. That is, you know, my mom is from Limerick. We like to remind her of that all the time. I think the 8th of December for me was, it's cemented in my head now as a start to Christmas. So now that I live in Dublin and you've got people putting up Christmas lights in November, even though I love Christmas, I'm horrified because I'm like, but it's not Christmas yet. It's not the 8th of December because, you know, I know it was the feast, the assumption, but for us, the 8th of December was day off school, go to Limerick, you know, go to Cork, like join the endless queues in the shops because every other country is there as well for the 8th of December.
Did you ever make the journey to Dublin?
Oh God, no. Jeez, that'd be nearly an overnight stay.
Yeah, yeah. People do that. Although I heard
for the zoo for my birthday. Zoo. That was the.
You were too embarrassed to be from Limerick, but you'd no problem coming and shopping with us.
Oh yeah, for the bargains and the deals, like.
Into towns.
Good neat deals.
Was there a particular shop in Cork or a place that you used to go to as a kid that, you know, that have to go around Christmas time?
Oh, I think when it was Limerick, it was the Crescent Shopping Centre because I think, you know, my mum, she liked the ease of being able to park and having all the shops right there beside her, and then you could make a few trips back to the car with the bags.
Yes,
very practical. And then, you know, ship us off to the cinema when we started.
I'm
giving you a great plug here to the present. It's a one stop shop. In Cork, then it was Wilton, I suppose, because again, you know, you didn't have to quite venture right into the city centre. And back in the day, Rocha Stores, everyone remember Rocha Stores? That was in Wilton. And my mum, I think the day that Rocha Stores moved out of there and Penny's moved in, I was delighted and she was horrified. And that was the last trip we ever made to Wilton Shopping Centre. I still go though.
You live in Dublin now for the last, 3 years?
3 years.
Do you still feel like a Cork girl in Dublin, or do you start to feel a little bit of blue creeping in?
Oh God, no.
No.
Now Kev is an out and out Dub through and through. He's from Cabra and he'd be always trying to hope that, you know, in my throwing on a Dublin jersey in my sleep, hoping that someday, not a chance. I think my accent as well gives it away.
Yeah, maybe a little bit, yeah.
No, I think, to be honest with you, I'm one of these Cork people because Cork people never like to move out of Cork. You know, we'll own it, a superiority complex about Cork. But
also, as a culture, we'll never be accepted in Dublin.
Also true.
You know, so
Dave is nodding here for
us. No,
all right, okay,
you,
thanks,
you will
million.
Not. Yeah.
But yeah, it has become home though. And I suppose, look, there's so many like cultures now as well in Dublin. That, you know. It's great. I make great friends up here.
Will you be back there at Christmas time? Will you be back?
Oh, absolutely. Cork, yeah. 21st December. Now, it's actually the first Christmas I'm actually getting to go home and enjoy it because last Christmas I was involved in Dancing with the Stars and it was an amazing experience, but it was just Penny dropped right before Christmas.
How much work?
I need to dance live in the new year on TV and I don't really know what I'm doing. So I think that Christmas was quite nerve-wracking. And the Christmas before that I was doing exams. So it's lovely just chilling out for this Christmas.
Do you still dance? Because you were very good.
Oh, thank you. You have to say that. Saturday nights, you know, to Beyonce.
Who doesn't? Let's be honest.
Like, drop the handbag and dance around it.
Do you remember any moves, like little ones that you can still kind of drop in?
It's funny, you know, for the ploughing championships, I was asked to kind of get involved in this, you know, and I got to dance again. I got to dance the Charleston, and it was amazing how actually quickly it came back. It was muscle memory. I can't say the performance was at the same standard, and Kai had to be nice to me whether he liked it or not, because like there's no judges now. But it was lovely to do it, and I know myself. I think there wasn't so much of an emotional attachment, and anybody that's got involved, even in a local club strictly, will say you become so invested in it, and then when you leave it, you know, you're on a little bit of a downer afterwards because you've become such good friends with the people involved, and you really, like, for me, I loved the performance element, even though I was terrified as well. The excitement and the adrenaline that came with it, I missed it. So,
were you able to draw on any of your All-Ireland experiences?
Yeah, like Rob Heffernan and I had this conversation. I think one of the biggest things, obviously, from playing a team sport and you have a manager, was the ability to take criticism. Now, I mightn't like it all the time, and I might go off stage and then kick over a you know, a bin or a kick a wall or something. But I was able to kind of, I think that became easier for some of the others felt that that was the hardest part, that they didn't like being criticised because they were used to being on their own, whereas with us we were constantly being told.
So you're able to filter it and not take it personally.
And just take some of the stuff and nearly use it to drive you on rather than to use it to get you down.
Do you use that method of critique in Ireland's Fittest Family then, when you want to get the most out of whatever family you're dealing with? Are you aware that some of them may not be used to criticism?
Yes, and that is a very good point. You have to get to know the families. I think that's why the coaches become, as you can evidently see on television screens, so passionate and involved in it. And it's like we're doing the race, because you get to know the families, you get to know their personalities and the dynamics. You know the ones where you need to sugarcoat it a bit, and you need to tell them they're amazing. And then you also know the ones where you need to give them a little bit of a kick up the bum and be like, you can do it, but you're not giving it to me. And I think that's really important as coaches. So we go to their homes and we get fed, and they're all great cooks.
Well, over dinner now, you'll find out about people. Well, here's you with the Coney family, actually, in the semi-final this year.
We are in this competition. We are not gone out. There's three strong individuals in the Coney family. If this goes right for us, we can even stay out of an eliminator. I'm your fourth member now for the next while, okay? So we just focus on it. This is not over by a long shot.
Oh, sure, I'm inspired listening to that.
I'm very calm there, because I thought you were going to show
we went for the calm one. Yeah.
The one that I'm roaring and shouting.
Yeah, but you all get into it. It's yourself, the other coaches, Davy Fitz and Donnacha O'Callaghan. Now, your families are the Finnegan Hogans from Cork.
Yeah, and the Coney's.
Coney's from Tyrone. From Tyrone. Yeah. Is it hard not to show favouritism to your home county family?
No, it's not, to be honest, because you get to know both families, and I mean, they're essentially both your families. Mm. And people will see this Sunday. I've been involved in Fittest Family for 4 years now, and it's been running for six, and this is the best final. You know, I think people have seen already from the little clips, and I'm not giving too much away by saying the final this year is in Croke Park.
Yeah,
so
it looks amazing.
Like, playing in Croke Park for years and winning there was amazing, but to come back now nearly in a managerial role and have a chance, you know, to stake a claim for a title is phenomenal.
Yeah, because the showmakers have brought in the experts to build a courses, and these are from the biggest shows in the States, like those
the
Ninja
stunt
one and all that.
It's insane.
So the obstacles are incredible. Visually looks spectacular, and Croke Park always looks great.
Oh, like, as in, this was the first year, right, as a coach, that I can tell the families now, hey, Coney's and Finnegan Hogan's, for listening, there was one or two I wouldn't do them.
Really?
Up until this year I was like, no, I'd do that.
Do it all, but that one.
Yeah, and I think it's really important for people to see the fitness levels. So whether they're 14-year-old girls or they're 65-year-old men, that fitness is kind of for everybody. And that, like, oh, look, I love fitness, and there's always some days I don't want to get out of the bed and go for a run and go to the gym. But this kind of shows people that you're never past a certain age, you know.
Yeah.
So if you're 15 thinking, oh, I can't really go to the gym anymore, and then you see a 63-year-old man hanging off a bar over water for nearly 8 minutes, you're like, well, okay, well, if he can
maybe
do
I
it.
Can.
And I think that's what's great about it. It's a great message.
Everybody can see it. The final's on this Sunday at 6:30 on RTE. But before we let you go, we want to talk about the Crumlin Jumper Day.
Yes.
This is something that's close to your heart. You're passionately involved in it. What's going on?
Yeah, look, I think, you know what, it's great to give back, and I suppose I'm in a position now that I can help out, and, you know, there's so many charities and so many good causes. But I suppose Crumlin, unfortunately, you know, I think kids at Christmas time, it's such a magical time for them, and for some of them having to be in Crumlin over Christmas. And one of my friends, nephews is having to be there now. So, you know, it's a very simple way for people to get involved. Who doesn't like wearing Christmas jumper? It always fills people with great spirit. So putting it on then and raising money and giving it towards, you know, Crumlin Hospital, I think it's a really easy and simple way, but really effective way that we can give something back. And that's what, look, all the presents, all the decorations, don't get me wrong, I love all of it. But I suppose when you strip Christmas back, it is about helping other people and giving back as well when you can.
Yeah, well, if schools or anybody else wants to get involved with this, it basically, you wear a Christmas jumper, you bring a couple of quid to support them. You can just Google Crumlin Christmas Jumper Day, and all the info will pop up there.
Yes.
Anna, thank you for coming in.
Thanks so much.
Happy Christmas.
Yeah. I hope you're team gearing every Sunday night.
Of course.
Absolutely.
We can't work out whether we're team
Donnacha,
Coney's or
and Finnegan Hogan's. I'll be watching from behind the couch.
I'm a bit afraid of Davy Fitz, so maybe one of us should root
he
for him.
He is the biggest teddy bear, believe me. He's a lovely guy.
Listen, thanks a million for coming
in. Thanks, guys.
Anna Geary is Today FM. It's Dermot and Dave.